Will that tell you that when you turn my what's on John Mayer to be probably wasted my entire life doing nothing to you. I feel bad on John. One of the best Bible class teachers I've ever been around in my life. He does a fine job with the adult class. He always has. And I appreciate him for many years. The example he was to me in my life. He just did church. He didn't come back home until the same time. I was sitting there looking. I believe that's the same clock in 10 years. I don't think it's changed. Because I've never been, like Carson's age. And I didn't think that clock moved to save my life when I was in here on a Sunday morning. I said, man, I said, just stand still up there. Can we get this thing going? And I looked back over and I said, I think that's the same clock that was here when I was a little kid running out of this building.
It still doesn't.
It doesn't. No, I watched these videos. And on that video, how long the bench is in. And I thought it was going to serve us a lot longer. I have seen that. And I'll tell you what, you've got such a good preacher in Brother Jeff. You all are blessed to have him. And I do not say that everywhere. I know, I've been into everyone as you. I don't like other preachers. But Jeff, the type of man that I enjoy getting to hear. You know, I enjoy getting to hear Jeff preach the word. He came and held up the gospel meeting, mostly 2 years ago now. And man, it was such a powerful meeting. He had people talking about that meeting. And just what a joy it was. And I believe, Lord willing, I'm back here next fall. I believe fall 2017, I'm here the whole meeting. And so, real brief, and it will be here. It will be basically a year from now. And, at that time, we'll be a good sport for a little while. But what has been there going on almost? It'll be 9 years we've got a free sport. And that's flown by, that's for sure. I was asked to talk about the twists and turns of life. And life is full of twists and turns. Life, what is normal? You know what I mean? Have you ever thought about, what's normal? Well, faith. You know, I just want things to be normal. My question is, what's normal? Because what's normal to you in life may not be normal to me. Life has its ups and its downs, its peaks, its valleys, its good times, its tragic times. Life's hard. Life's hard. And, you know, when I was thinking about this, I preached a lesson a while back, and I thought, how can I incorporate a portion of this lesson to tie in with this one? And because the one thing I've noticed about life is, and people in general, everybody, not everybody, but most people, especially those in the church, you want to do right. You want to live right. You want to have a home of heaven. You want to have the best life possible. We can all agree with all of those things, and yet, we struggle to do that sometimes. When I've looked at the church every year, I've grown up in the church. My whole life, I've preached now for 11 years. Now, Rick has preached longer than I have, and so his observation would do a lot more. But what I noticed about people in general, I go back to the church over the years and I look at all the twists and the turns of life that people had to go through. And at times it's, health problems. At times it's financial problems. At times it's family problems. at times it's a husband-wife relationship, at times it's the parents and the children. There are so many things that happen, and we see it. It's in us. And then we see how people handle that situation. What do they do? How do they handle it? How do they make it through it? Rick hasn't mentioned it, but Rick's one of the best people I know in my life. Rick and I are close friends. There are people that you look at, and Rick is a mentor of mine. Rick is somebody I look up to. He was somebody, by the time I started preaching, he was always there to help me. I went to preach the gospel meeting, I mean, incarnation, and all the time we had so much fun that week. We had so many laughs, and, but Rick had a lot of twists and turns in life. But yet, every time I saw people, Rick's one of the happiest people I've ever met in my life. I mean, he's always laughing, he's always having fun. When you're at church camp, I mean, you'll never find a funnier guy than him back there. This year at camp, I saw something happen that I never thought I would see. Rick is the king of pranks. Rick will get anybody's pants, and you always tell me that he doesn't get me, and I don't get him, and we have that bond. We've got this special agreement that's going on. But if someone gets Rick, then I'm going to get them for Rick. I mean, what he does it. But Rick, at the beginning of the week, started a battle with another friend of mine that I said, Rick, you shouldn't do this. You're not going to win this, Rick. You can't win this one. The one thing about Rick is he's gotten a step slower. He's not as good as he used to be. And I got to see, and I've never been there, a whole 5 gallon bucket full of water stuff over to Rick's head. It was pretty close to immersion. I will say, pouring is pretty close to immersion, but Rick had it. Rick pulled her off. But yeah, like Kyle Hoffman, I think he keeps on going. We got to stop. That's all throughout the church. Now, here's the other problem. There are some things that are out of our control in twists and turns in life. You lose your job. You didn't see it coming. Or, something happens with your health and you never saw it coming. Or whatever. And so those problems are over here. But then you got something else. The problems that we bring on ourselves. We do a lot of that. The twists and turns of life, what Rick will say to those young people, I'm so glad you preached that message to him. I hope they listen. I hope they made sense to it. Because what happens is you do get older and you do look back in life and you do say, I'm sorry I ever did that. I'm sorry I crossed that line. That's what you say. And we chalk that up to experience, but we look back and say, I wish. I'm sorry again. But what I see a lot of people, and even a lot of Christians, is we keep making the same mistake. We say, well, that's experience. But a lot of people don't work for the past. They just keep repeating it for whatever reason. We as people have one thing in common. We're flawed. We're flawed. Now, let's not talk out, let's not say go sin, it's just the reality of it. We are flawed as human beings. We are not perfect. That's the reason why we have to come to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, understanding what He did for us, and He died on the cross for our sins. But I started thinking about this, the twists and turns of life, and how many of those twists and turns of life that I've gone through, but how many of them were my own fault? Can't blame mom and dad. Can't blame brother or sister. Can't blame wife. Can't blame children. took the tip by God.
Oh.
And so, open your Bible to 1 John chapter 1. We will tie all of this together. I'm going to feed you a lot and bring it back together on how we overcome. 1 John chapter 1 verse 8. If we sin and we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Look at verse 10. If we sin and we have no sin, we make him a liar and his word's not in us. Okay, so we realize we're going to sin. Oftentimes what sin does though is lead to difficult. Sin leads to problems. Sin leads to the twists and the turns of life that we get. We don't see coming. And so we start to then look at ourselves saying, what can I do differently? Why is it so difficult? Why is it so difficult for us to overcome these things? What is it that is? I do believe everybody wants to do right,
if we do realize it, it's uncomfortable to talk to them. And then so we just kind of ignore the obvious, but the last easy thing to do, and we need more time. But in the meantime, they're still struggling. They're still going through life, and it's hard. What do you do when you see a family and you know mom and dad aren't getting along? What do you do when you see a family and you know mom and dad are trying hard, but Son of God is really making their life miserable, and you know that. It's obvious to all. Have you ever seen that situation? Or within the family that all of a sudden they've lost their job. Oh, hey, brother, we'll be praying for you. Well, thanks, brother. I'll pay my bills. But okay, yeah. Oh, you need to pay for it. But what do we do through the twisted turns of life? Ultimately, we're going to tie this together.
We need more Jesus.
But Jesus and God also expect for us to do our part. We are the family of God, right? When I come back here to sing, this is home. This is family. You all know me. By the time I was a little tiny kid turned around this building. But we're not just family because I grew up here. What binds us together as a family is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what makes us a family. Let me ask you this question. What do you do for your family when they're struggling? When they're going through the twists and turns of life and they're going through problems? We talk about it. I was rich. He helped Christ. We walked through struggle with Christ.
That's what Paul is. That's come down, baby. What a wedding sister to Christ me. Come down here to walk out and say, never! Okay, you have no story for yourself. Where is that God in the cellar?
Then let's move on. Come on.
And I'm going to help you. Lines can be blue and perfect in our lives. And in one day, heaven can be next. Right? Somebody today has been told, you have cancer, and there's nothing you can do. Somebody's been told that. What would that mean to you? How would that affect you? If that was you, or one of your children, how would we be able to overcome that? How would we be able to move on? There's a reason why I've done Matthew chapter 7. In verses 13 and 14, we quote the very beginning of the first verse. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many who go in by it. Because there is a gate that falls away to speak for life, and few there are who find it. I'm going to make them actually measure the fish mouth every week, Saturday afternoon. And we were marching across in front of Ruby Memorial Hospital. We're going through the blue lot there, heading over the mountain there field to watch the day. And I told Megan, I said, let's stop for a moment. He said, well, I said, look around. And all you can see is tent. Tent after tent after tent. And just people everywhere. And I said, what do you see all these people doing right now? And I'm just trying to get my kids there so we can get the fall game. I said, they're all living free and partying hard and having fun. I said, this right here. I said, today you're going to be sitting in a stadium with 60,000 people. That's a lot of people. 60,000 people. And I said, we need to sit down a minute. We need to do the white man. I was just sitting there observing it. Oh, there are a lot of Christians in that, but it's doing a simple thing came out right there. And I didn't feel so okay. How are you going to heaven? How are things going to be lost? It wasn't a big one. What Jesus said is true. Now, this is James chapter 1. You know, there's twists and turns that we take in life, and times are hard for us because, well, we bring them on ourselves if we're not careful. In James chapter 1, the Bible says in verse 13, let no one say he is tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. And when desire has conceived and brings forth sin, sin when it is full grown brings forth death. The devil tempts us, he lures us in, as we talk about. You know, you think about that fish. When you go fishing, does that fish know there's a hook? What's the fish do? The boat, right? You see the bait, you smell the bait. They don't know when they bite on the bait, they're going to get hooked. Now, it's rare, but every now and then, you guys have to catch that three fish twice. Because we choose the bait, catch the bait. All because we're just that way. I told the Bridgeport Church of Christ several months ago, I said, here's what I want you to do with the Sunday morning. I told them, the Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Next Sunday, guess what we're doing? We're going to preach a sermon. And I said, I want to know how well we know each other. I said, how well do you know your brother, sister, through Christ? I said, how can we help each other if we don't know each other? And I said, so I put pieces of paper in the back of the building. I put a basket back there. And I said, I want you all, go put your name on it. Because I know if I had people put their name on, they wouldn't do it. I said, I want you to write down your biggest problem, your biggest struggle that you're going through in your Christian life. Write it down.
and I thought no one's going to be here. But I came. And they filled the basket completely.
I had stuff in that basket and I said, that's my table.
Wow.
So the next Sunday I got up and I said, okay, here's what I'm going to do. This morning we're going to preach this sermon. And you all need to know your brothers and sisters in Christ, and you need to know what they're struggling with so you can help them through the twists and the turns of life.
Now, the one problem I told them was this. I said, as I read these off, don't you dare sit there and try to figure out these issues. Because you know, you have those people say, oh, oh, I didn't have to see that guy. Brother Sam said, just to know, sir. All right, one person come up there.
I was concerned,
You have to have people in the church that you can go to, and you know they're not going to tell anybody, and you can say, I'm struggling with this. And not be ashamed, and not be afraid, but repent of it and try harder. Look at the Bible for James chapter 5, verse 15. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Why is it when we're going through so much trouble in life, it might be a sinful situation, it might not even be a sinful situation, it just might be something else that's bothering us in life, whatever it is. Why is it that we can't go to someone else and talk to them about it and we don't feel comfortable? Why do you think that is? Any reason?
Trust.
Because I'm afraid, Jeff, I want to talk to you about something really bothering me. Something that's really, I'm struggling with, and it's turned my life upside down. But if I can talk to you about it, there's a chance what?
I'm going to tell somebody.
You're going to tell somebody. And then they're going to tell somebody. And then before you know it, the whole church is going to know what I'm doing. And so instead, I'm going to bury it deep inside where no one else knows. And I'm going to try to live with this day in and day out. Try to serve God along the way.
And hope I'm faithful.
Right? That's the solution we come up with. That's the grand solution. And yet the Bible never tells us to do that. The Bible says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another. See, someone goes and talks to Jeff, someone goes and talks to John. And here's the other thing. It does not have to be a preacher or an elder for you to talk to him. You go and talk to somebody else. And that brother and sister says, okay, let's pray about this. Now I'm going to be praying for you. I'm going to be checking in on you to see how you're doing. And if the Lord's going to get you through this situation in life, whatever it is. Wouldn't it be amazing if the church worked that way?
Okay. Wouldn't that be great?
it oftentimes doesn't talk about the rain. And then we wonder why we have so much lukewarmness. We wonder why people are serious. Because everybody's carrying around these burdens and these troubles. You have to be able to depend on God. If we go back to 1 John chapter 1, because after God has told us that we all sin, and that we have sin in our lives, 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, the Lord will the truth in us. Okay, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, if we repent of our sins, by the way, what is repentance? Repentance is changing. Some people read this and say, well, okay, I confess my sins. Lord, I confess my sin. I got drunk and I shouldn't have done that. I drank alcohol and I know I shouldn't have done that. God, please forgive me. God says, okay, I'm going to forgive you. Blot it out. I've never had it. I've been proud of that. God, I did it again. I got drunk. I drank alcohol Sunday night. God, I did it again. Well, what happens then? Let's have repentance, right? And sometimes that's where we fall into in our life, and so we start going through these lives, and it's so difficult. It's so trying, and it's so hard. And I have seen it with so many Christians, and oftentimes what happens is we're afraid to state the others. Even as preachers, I've never heard a sermon, I've never heard a preacher get up there ever. And say, this is what the church is struggling with. I'm like, Megan, do you think I'm crazy for doing this? And she's like, well, you've always done stuff outside the box. I said, well, okay, we're going to try. You know, it's probably our last thing. They pack the bag. And I think that's sort of what's amazing is when the church sat back and listened to what other people were going through, they were, everybody left them. Wow. I thought I was the only one. But, no, I'm not the only one. I thought I was the only one struggling with this. I thought I was the only one struggling with that. And on one that day, we had three responses. I never extended invitation. I extended an invitation. Here came one person, here came another person, and came another person to five. And I prayed this. Look at the elders. Come on, pray for them. Lay your cross. You shepherds, come pray for them. And it was amazing. Life is going to be a challenge. But you cannot try to do it by yourself. God comes first. Christ comes first. His Word and His Church. If that's what your life is about, you'll be okay. But no matter what, it's going your way. You will be able to survive it. You will be able to overcome it. But if that's not the case, then hang on. But I don't know what you're going to do. Look at Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. Jesus looked at him and said to him, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Maybe I'll talk a lot about this. It's amazing to see the way God works in people's lives. God works in people's lives. Sometimes we don't like to talk that way, but if we don't believe God works in people's lives, why are we praying to God? Why are we asking things of God? God works in people's lives. It's called providence. God's providence is there. He works every day in our lives. And He's working mine. You know, Mary and I, when we got married, we wanted to have a son, but we were still young. We were babies. I was 22 and did not know anything about being a husband. I knew nothing. I love my dad. But hey, there's my role model right there. Okay, now, I joke about that, but, you know, my dad, and I remember saying, Dad, what's the matter? He said, well, you didn't lie. My dad loved me. For the time I married Megan, Dad loved me. I knew where Dad stood. Making the drunk, riding the drunk. But I knew that. That was just the way it was. Megan and I got married. We went to the biggest church in the state of West Virginia at the time. We had the 10,000 Church of Christ. You know, I mean, life is grand. Life is good. I'm preaching to almost 400 people on a Sunday morning. I'm not getting paid anything, but I'm preaching to 400 people on a Sunday morning. and man, my marriage was hurting. It was hurting. And Maddie's like, I don't know about this preacher's wife thing. I don't know if I like it. And I'm going, Pop, you better preach it.
And you said you'll get to a court. And I'm not going anywhere, and that's the way it's going to be.
Oh, it wasn't good. At all.
But then you don't want to do a Sunday morning, and that's what you got to do.
Good morning,
how are you? Good morning, how are you?
Oh, it was a battle. For the mother, the man is walking in, and she's like, now if you call us like the little preacher's wife says, and we're going to do a kiss. And then we get home, and she's like, God, I'm drunk. Oh, it's awful.
I
didn't
know what was at my house about that time.
Huh?
He was in there sitting on my bed.
Like no one ever would know.
You were running around like a baby and she was crying. Boy, and he's like me, if a girl was crying, it tears him up. He was like, well, I don't know what to do. I said, we
got to hurt. That's impossible. Listen, hey! And Mom, when I grew up and you started, you just want to hurt. For the last time I ever said, if it tells you to hear it,
I don't know.
Someone might have talked.
Maybe not.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. So anyway, it was bad. Well,
she did. She had someone she talked to. And she knew Rick. But she knew Rick and I were poor. And she said, Rick, you've got to help Simon. You've got to help Ryan. You've got to try to help our situation. And you'll never know how much I'm thankful for you. But she did. With the help of God. Because we were praying about it. We wanted to make it better. We never wanted it to be bad. It was the marriage to be bad.
And see, I don't care to tell you that, but the other half of your marriage has been bad too. That's the way marriage is sometimes. That's the way life is sometimes. So,
how do you get to it? How do we get to it? We have brother in Christ to help us. We depend on God, and we lean on Jesus. That's what you have to do. Open your Bible, if you would.
Well, I was going to make this comment to the Marine Crow.
Yes.
I just held this meeting at Bridgeport, and I don't know if I said, I think I said this to you, but I said, your marriage is in solid shape, so you can do it. Anybody can.
Oh.
You had a great marriage. But those are things that are past. And if you're doing your Bible to Matthew chapter 11, there are things that don't think about the good Matthew 11. We're running out of time right now. We're almost done. Time's closing up. Verses 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who labor are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and loving heart, and you'll find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You know what Jesus was saying there? Come to me. Lean on me. Jesus is always there to strengthen us. It's like Paul. Paul knew a whole lot. He was beaten. He had been thrown to prison. He had been left for dead. He was at times cold and hungry and thirsty and everything that he made. That's what he said before. And he said, I can walk into Christ
to strengthen me. Where did he leave? Jesus Christ. Do you realize when you were baptized in Christ, all the time we make this point all the time to people, we'll say, you have to be baptized for the remission of your sins. That's true. That's what baptism does for you. It washes your sins away, Acts 22, verse 16. But do you realize what you do when you're baptized? Well, according to the New Testament, you put on Christ. Do you realize put on Christ? And that idea of put on, it's like how you put on the shirt. He becomes a part of who you are. You put him on in your life. You start to do it. Start to be like him. And, you know, walk as he walked in 1 John chapter 2, verse 7 tells us. But yet, even more doing that, and we're trying our very hardest. You know what? Satan's going to be there to try to take you away. Satan's going to be there to try to hinder you as we talked about in the first lesson. Satan is only there, but there's nothing that we cannot overcome. There's nothing we cannot overcome. I don't care what you name. I don't care what it is at all. You didn't know what the Bible says. What the Bible tells us. That God will never leave us nor forsake us. Ever. You might leave him, but he's not leaving you. He will always be there for you. Christ will always be there for you. And your brothers and sisters in Christ should always be there for you. What God has done is put for us a situation where we always have help. Are there twists and turns in life? Absolutely. How do you handle them? Not by yourself. Never by yourself. With help from Satan, with the help of God, Christ, and Scripture, you can overcome. We'll have to end there because we ran out of time. And when we did, you said 2 o'clock, or 2 o'clock yet? I don't know what you said.
No.
No, we're good. I appreciate that, but we're good. What did you say?
I said that preach on
brother. You didn't die? I thought you were going to say that. I think what Jesus said was him. Well, hey, it has been nice to come home. I appreciate the invitation to come here. I am looking forward to coming back next fall and holding the meeting here. And see you after the meeting this fall. You know? God bless you. I saw that on the website. I think I got there looking at all the books. See, I keep up with you all down here. I'm a little too. But we'll be praying for you all. Thank you so much for inviting me and coming down here. I've really enjoyed my time. Look forward to hearing Kyle and calling you a little bit. But thank you again.